My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning to speak about purgatory and the doctrine of purgatory. Yesterday we had All Souls Day, and it's important that we reflect on purgatory for two reasons in particular. One, so that we are inspired to help the poor souls in purgatory, some of whom would be our own ancestors and friends begging our prayers. The second benefit of reflecting upon purgatory is to live in such a way that we won't have to go to purgatory, or if we do, that we would spend as little time as necessary in purgatory. And it is foolish, indeed, for Catholics to say, well, I don't care if I spend a long time in purgatory because at least then I will have made it. I will have saved my soul. And again, it's foolish because it is so easy for us, by making use of the sacraments, the gaining of indulgences, good works, prayer, acts of mortification, so easy for us to satisfy now in this world the temporal punishment due to our sins. So let's review several things on purgatory. First of all, the doctrine of purgatory. Purgatory is a place of temporary expiation. I say temporary because it will end on the last day. At the end of the world, there will be no more purgatory, and all those souls who are there at that time will go to heaven. So it is a place of temporary expiation to atone for sins committed that have been forgiven, but yet have not been completely atoned for. Also, those who die with the stain of venial sin on their soul, a place to be purified. And if you have never read the book on purgatory by Father Shoup, that's not the only one, there are others, but I think it's the most excellent. It is really a good read and good to review, to inspire us with an understanding of purgatory, and again, a desire to avoid purgatory by living a good Catholic life, and to help the poor souls as well. So purgatory then, a place of temporary expiation. And we think of purgatory as it is, a place where God's justice demands the satisfaction of sins committed. But we also should look upon purgatory as a creation of God's mercy. Because if we properly understand who God is, what God is, he is the infinitely perfect being, the supreme being. He is all holy. And as such, God abhors even venial sin. Sin is something so contrary to God, to his holiness, to his nature, that God cannot be joined with sin. And so if you have a person that dies with venial sin on his soul, that person could not go straight to heaven because heaven is union with God. And again, God being infinitely holy cannot be united with a sinful being. So purgatory, properly understood, is a merciful, an act of God's mercy, because otherwise the souls that die in the state of grace with venial sins on their soul or forgiven mortal sins that have not yet been completely satisfied, they would have to go to hell. If there were only two options, heaven and hell, and no purgatory. And yet, even though that is so logical, the vast majority of those who call themselves Christians do not believe in purgatory. They think that those who love God, die in the state of grace, when they die, they just go straight to heaven, and there is no purgatory. And of course, we recall that this is primarily due to the heresy of Martin Luther. Of course, Martin Luther taught many heresies, but primary among them was the idea that all you need to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved. You will be saved. And it's by your faith alone, without any good works. Doesn't matter how many times you sin or have sinned. You just go straight to heaven if you have faith. And of course, that is utterly contrary to Scripture and to the entire tradition of the church, and even contrary to common sense. But not only do Protestants, by and large, reject the idea of purgatory, which is contained in Scripture, and of course taught by the Church, but also in the Novus Ordo. Those Catholics who go to the Novus Ordo, accept Vatican II, their thinking has changed. And now they have, in the Novus Ordo, what they call the Mass of the Resurrection, instead of the funeral Mass. In black vestments, now it's in white. And it's a joyful celebration. They call it a celebration of life. Instead of supplication for the repose of the soul that has passed away. So it reminds me, I had a funeral in Boston about 10 years ago. And we had a parishioner there who was a very pious, good Catholic woman. But nevertheless, during the eulogy at the conclusion of the funeral, I mentioned to the people the importance of praying for her, soul, because we don't know the things that God sees that we might just pass off lightly. But as I was explaining this, there was one of her friends there, a Novus Ordo Catholic, who was there, and she was vigorously shaking her head back and forth, and it wasn't a large gathering, so it was very noticeable. And I was told afterwards by one of the sisters that she was very offended that I said that this woman that passed away could be in purgatory. So again, by and large, people just believe, oh, you just go straight to heaven. They have this distorted, this false idea of God's mercy. And again, read the book on purgatory, and you see there the satisfaction God requires for even things we look upon as small sins. Do you remember the story of Fatima, how Lucia asked Our Lady at one of the apparitions about a girl, a teenager in Fatima, who had died recently? Was she in heaven? And Our Lady said, she is in purgatory, and she will be there until the end of time. Now that was over 100 years ago in 1917. So there may be souls in purgatory, there are souls in purgatory who are there for years and years and years. And how foolish it would be for someone to have an attitude, well, as long as I make it there, I don't care how long I'm in purgatory, as long as I make it there. So what are the pains of purgatory? Primarily two. And we call these the pain of sense and the pain of loss. Now, the pain of sense is the one that affects us more. If you've ever accidentally burned your finger, you know, on touching a hot dish, and you pull your hand away and it stings, it's very painful, just a small little burn. Imagine to be consumed with fire, your entire being within and without. So the pain of fire, St. Thomas Aquinas says the fire in purgatory is the same as the fire of hell. And it's made to purify. Whereas the fire in this world is made for the service of men. The fire of purgatory is made to purify and to punish for sin. But even though that is the one that strikes us most, there is a greater pain. And that is called the pain of loss. And the pain of loss means that the souls in purgatory understand that they were created for God. Their whole purpose was to be united to God eternally in heaven, and they're being held back. They love God because they died in the state of grace, or they wouldn't be in purgatory, and they want to be united with him, but they are held back. They are not encumbered by the material occupations and preoccupations that we have in this world, and taking care of our bodily needs, our food and sleep and clothing and so forth. They understand, as we cannot fully understand, how they were created for God and they desire to be united with him, but they're being held back due to the need to be purified. So that's called the pain of loss. And that's even a greater pain for them than the pain of sense. So purgatory is a time of painful expiation and purification to prepare a soul to be united with God, to be received into the beatific vision, and to be with God forever. And we have a duty to pray for the souls in purgatory. You know the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. A loved one passes away, we're sad, we pray for that soul for a while, and then maybe after a while we kind of forget. We get on with our lives and we forget about the souls in purgatory. So we should remember them. They are members of what we call the church suffering, part of the communion of saints, part of our spiritual family. So we have a duty in justice and in charity to help the poor souls in purgatory. So then the question comes up, how can I help the souls in purgatory? Reception of the sacraments, prayer, acts of mortification and self-denial, very powerful means of helping the souls in purgatory, acts of charity, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. But there is another means available to us that is a wonderful opportunity that we should not only understand, but be able to defend, because it also was rejected by Martin Luther, and that is the gaining of indulgences. So what is an indulgence? An indulgence is the application of Holy Mother Church of the suffrages that she has in her treasury to a soul for the fulfillment of certain conditions. And those conditions were in the insert in our bulletin last Sunday. So you think about our Blessed Mother. She never committed a sin, not even the tiniest sin. And so she acquired an enormous amount of grace and merit through her good works, her sufferings at the foot of the cross, her sorrows, her prayer life. Every time we pray, there are two things there. Well, three things, actually. We gain merit, which is for the individual. We also can gain blessings. That's what we call the impetratory power of prayer, its ability to obtain graces. But the third benefit of prayer is satisfaction, the ability of prayer to atone for sin. And so you think about our Blessed Mother, she gained all this merit that she now has in heaven, but what about the satisfactions that she gained through her prayer life and her holy life? She did not need them because she had nothing to atone for. They go into the treasury of the church, as well as that of all of the saints who gained far more than they individually needed. And above all, think of our divine Lord himself. So the church has this wonderful treasury of satisfactions, and she applies them to us for doing really simple, easy things to do. But of course, one must be in the state of grace, have the intention to gain the indulgence. For plenary indulgences, there are additional conditions. For instance, one could not have or gain a plenary indulgence if he has an attachment to even a venial sin. Not only must the person be in a state of grace, but have true sorrow for all of his sins. So what if a person is retaining a grudge against someone else who said something or did something to offend him or her, and she doesn't want to let go that grudge? That person could not gain plenary indulgence. So you see, there are these additional conditions for plenary indulgences. But an indulgence is the church applying out of her treasury the satisfactions that she has for the fulfillment of certain conditions. One of the books in purgatory that I read, it's by a popular priest, Father Paul O'Sullivan. He wrote a number of wonderful devotional booklets back in the 1940s, 30s or 40s and 50s. And he would go by the pen name EDM, the initials EDM, wrote a number of booklets. One of them is called Read Me or Rue It, and it's on purgatory. But he says in that, and I can't remember the number, he says that there was a Dominican lay brother who delivered something like 400,000 or 500,000 souls from purgatory by his efforts to gain, throughout his life, to gain indulgences. So you can imagine the intercessors that that brother had for himself when he died. When we release a soul from purgatory, we have a friend who will never forget us. He will be there to intercede for us at our judgment in eternity, because he will owe his salvation to our releasing him sooner than would have otherwise been the case. So let us reflect upon purgatory this month of November. Help the poor souls by gaining indulgences, by your good works, your gaining of satisfactions. There's also what is called the heroic act. a wonderful thing whereby a person gives up all of the indulgences he will gain instead of applying them to himself, give them all up for the poor souls in purgatory, a very heroic act. But not only by reflecting on purgatory will we help the poor souls, we also will be inspired to want to live in such a way that we will not have to go to purgatory, or if we do, we will spend a very short time. It would be utterly foolish to think, well, I don't care if I go to purgatory for many years, at least I will have made it. Again, a foolish idea. Let us strive to live in such a way that we will avoid purgatory, or at the most, be there for just a short time, and then go into heaven to be united with God forever, which is why he created us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost,